Hello.
I was trying not to do the millennial pause. Have you seen that on TikTok?
No.
It's like, so when millennials record a video or make a TikTok, they pause right before saying anything and it's caught in the video.
Oh.
And it's so true. And so I feel like when it gets to one and we just pause for a second. Yeah.
It's the millennial pause. But you wouldn't know what being a millennial is.
Oh, yeah, because I'm Gen Z.
27.
I know. I was just right on the tail end of it.
Well, actually, I have a fun fact in this story that will prove that wrong.
What? No, there's no fun fact in there.
There is a very fun fact. Anyway, hello, friends. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
It's Halloween season, if you didn't know.
Well, it's about to be over.
Well, yeah, we're almost done. And then it's going to be turkey time.
No. We skip right over Thanksgiving. It's just a one day to eat like I normally do, just specific foods. And no.
First of all, shut the fuck up, because we do Friendsgiving every year.
Friendsgiving is different than Thanksgiving. But here's the thing. I put my Christmas tree up as soon as Halloween's over.
You know what? Last year, I didn't even put my Christmas tree up. Ow! Jinx is scratching me.
You live with a Jew.
I know.
A Zionist, if I might say.
Well, actually, this year, he wanted to put the Christmas tree up like 2 months ago. And I said, no.
2 months ago?
Yeah. He was like, I'm not only putting it up for 1 month.
You know what? I kind of get it, but August?
I could kind of see putting it up for, like, the holiday season, like, right before Halloween. Maybe doing, when like, a Halloween hits. Decoration on it.
It has to be after Halloween, because Halloween is such a decorative...
Yeah. Except I also don't decorate my house for any holiday.
I put a witch that looked like a witch crashed on my door.
Yes.
And it was there for 2 years.
It was.
Like over a year before I finally took it down.
I think you actually like just took it down.
It was, And I think like it fell down and it made me move it. Like the string was so degraded.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Cheap Amazon goods.
Yeah. I think a lot of my decorations are like from the dollar store because my mom just gives me random decorations and they're all from the dollar store. They're cute, but I also just don't have the time or the patience to like decorate for every holiday like my mother
does.
Like
our parents do.
Oh my God. My mom goes all out.
Our parents, it's that Gen X thing where there's not a single space of blank wall.
No.
It's full of everything.
And not even just the wall, but like shelves and like my mom has these like shelves that are, I don't even fucking know, not like 6 feet tall, but like they're tall. And she will replace for like every season, every holiday, she will replace every single thing on there, on these big ass shelves
with
like the holiday decor for that holiday that's coming up.
I don't have the time.
I don't either.
My busy schedule is laying in bed after work.
First of all, I don't even have the storage room for all that shit.
Hell no. And I don't want to buy totes. But anyways, guys, we're here to tell a story.
We're here to tell a spooky story.
Sorry for getting off track.
No, we're not. Because it's Halloween, I wanted to do a spooky episode. And also, this is a case that I have wanted to cover for a long time because it combines both true crime and the paranormal, similar to the one episode we've done before about the ghost testimonies where they came back.
Yes.
From the grave.
Yes.
To convict their killers.
Oh my God, I hate that.
But this one actually has, like, a lot of detail in it. So, I thought it would be perfect for Halloween. Of course, it's still a tragic case because it does involve a murder.
Oh.
But it is very intriguing and also pretty recent compared to the other ghost testimony stories that we told that were, like, in the fucking 1800s or some shit.
why are all ghosts from the 1800s? You know, like, it's like, we see, like, look, it's her. She's an ancient garb. And
a woman in white, in a Victorian garb.
Why is it never fucking Jenny from the Jenny year 2009? Why is it never Jenny from the block and some apple bottom jeans? You know, like.
Maybe we just see them as a normal person.
Stop. Oh my god. No.
Maybe.
Ugh, I hate that. What if we're seeing. What if you're good? What if you're not real and I'm schizo?
Well, remember you texted me? Was it last. No, it was the night last before. Night it was the night before.
Taylor.
You I was like, laying. I just saw a human in my house. Look,
I was laying like I am right now. You guys, I'm laying on my bed on my left side with a door frame directly to the left. I swear to God, I saw somebody standing there. I can make out in my peripherals. I can make out his fingers and like the wrinkles on his knuckles. Like it looked like a full person was standing there, and I look up, and there's nothing there.
Was it like a shadow person? No, like all
it was
black?
Like a real like person,
flesh color,
like flesh.
Oh,
yeah. I've
always kind of felt creeped out about your office.
I jumped up and I ran around the house thinking somebody was in the house. No, nobody was there.
I would literally lose my mind because that's crazy.
I was so high, I got so scared and went to sleep. I was like, if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
I got so scared, I just went to bed.
That's what I've been doing. When in doubt, sometimes.
I'm the exact opposite. If I get scared about something, I literally cannot fall asleep.
I let go and let God. Well, guys.
All right. Well.
Time to
hear
about.
We're going to get into this.
The story.
Fascinating case.
So, okay. The year's 1989. Katy Perry's 40 years old.
Taylor
and
Swift
is this girl.
Was just born.
Yeah.
So.
She was.
She was.
Wow.
So, it's a late night in Chicago, 1977. Dr. Jose Chua is sitting in his home when he suddenly hears his wife, Remy, start to mumble.
Remy like the rat from Ratatouille?
No, get back in your hat, Remy! Sorry. I think her actual name is Remy Bias.
Let her be slaughtered and I'm just a bit. R.I.P. Remy.
Actually, Remy is the hero of this case.
Oh, period.
At first, Jose thinks she's just talking in her sleep. But then her voice changes. It gets low and strained, like someone else has taken over. And then she says, "Doctor, I need your help. The man who murdered me is still at large."
Stop. And this is Dr. Jose?
His wife is saying this.
To Dr. Jose.
Dr. Jose Chua.
Yes. I don't care that he's a doctor as long as he's here legally. Sorry.
Well, if he's a practicing doctor, he has to be here legally.
You know what? As long as he's here legally.
You guys know where we stand on that. We just like to kid around.
We just like to kid.
So after hearing this, Jose freezes. He looks at his wife.
Turns to stone.
Medusa!
Medusa!
He looks at his wife and her eyes are open, but she's not there. You know how you can tell when you
look at
the voice coming out of her isn't hers. And when she says her name, it's not Remy Chua. Instead, she says, "I am Teresita Bassa." Dun dun!
That demon is stupid.
It's not a demon.
What is it?
I just told you it's a woman solving her murder from the grave.
But how? If she's paranormally speaking to him?
Yeah.
But it wasn't her voice.
It wasn't his wife's voice.
But it was her saying it.
But it was Teresita's voice. It wasn't Remy's voice. It was Teresita's voice coming through Remy.
Okay. I get it now.
So, we gotta do a little rewind. That was a record scratch.
Record scratch. I bet you're wondering how I got here. You guys, I just want you to know, this DoorDasher is so hot.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, what if my microphone was on?
Is it here already?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
He's wearing gray sweats
too. Shall we take a pause?
Yes. BRB, guys.
BRB.
And we're back.
We're back. We just had to eat dinner.
Yeah, it was Chick-fil-A.
It was delicious.
I got a salad.
And I got a pretzel burger.
No, it was a pretzel chicken sandwich. And it looked fucking fire. I had one yesterday. It's delicious.
It's the epitome of health. That's me.
And just so you know, we don't agree with their stance on gay people.
Right. We just really love chicken.
They're the only fast food fries that can get cold and still be good.
That's true. You know what? That is 100% true.
Don't get me started.
I never even fucking thought of that. But you're right.
That and Rally's fries. Rally's?
Oh.
They can get cold and they're still as good as they are when they're hot.
I have not had Rally's in years.
Me either. I got food poisoning. I'd go back. I mean, I'd definitely go back for a Big Buford.
Do you remember when they had that burger? It was like the fry burger where they put fries on the burger.
I got a like super sized fry once and it was like just a small bag full of fries. Anyway. I love America.
America, fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So, where we left off. We're going to do a little rewind because who the fuck is Teresita Bassa? Right?
Right.
Well, before she became the center of one of the weirdest murder cases in American history, she was just pretty normal. She was born in the Philippines in 1929 to parents Pedro and, I don't know how to say this, Socorro Bassa? I think that's how you say that? Teresita was known for being quiet, kind, and also incredibly smart. So after graduating from the University of Assumption in Manila.
In period, because that is me, bitch. I assume everything. You got me fucked up. I will send you a paragraph and a text message because I assume something. I would excel at the School of Assumption.
What the fuck kind of name
leveling
is
my speech skill in a video game. That's what it feels like.
It's like, okay, what a great name.
Watch us be making fun of like some super cultural like phenomenon.
The best fucking school in the Philippines.
You guys, I'm sorry. To our Filipino listener, I am sorry.
Our one Filipino listener, which is my Aunt Susie, because my uncle makes her listen to it.
He's obsessed with us. He loves us.
That's my Uncle Jay, who was in the Amityville episodes, by the way. His wife is my Aunt Susie, who's from the Philippines. And she's great. Love you. Hope you didn't go to the University of Assumption.
Watch her. She holds the current title.
She actually is the president of the college.
President and CEO. She's on the board.
Well, Teresita graduated from there in 1960, and then she moved to the U.S. Don't know why you would do that. She moved to study music and eventually settled in Chicago, where she worked as a respiratory therapist at Edgewater Hospital.
No schooling.
So she became a respiratory therapist because she found it hard to get a job in music.
And well, yeah.
Also because she felt drawn to helping others. But she was still set on her dream of working in music. And so she was working towards her degree in music at the time of her death.
Ugh.
So I also have a fun fact about Edgewater Hospital, because that was supposedly the birthplace of Hillary Clinton and also John Wayne Gacy.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Two murderers.
Yeah.
Her emails!
Her emails! And his crawl space!
What did they blame her for? Were they like abandoned troops? Listen, the moment you expect Hillary Clinton to pick up a gun and defend trained soldiers, if that's even what happened, I'm stoned right now. That could be, I could be misinterpreting that whole thing, so take what I say with a grain of salt. You expect Hillary Clinton, they come under fire. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton just run and grab a rifle and start killing people.
I don't even know what the fuck was going on with, like, her emails and, like, put her in jail or whatever. I thought it was because she used, like,
she just used her private email for, like, government stuff. You know, it wasn't encrypted.
And now we have...
Well, the Trump stole secret things and then... Now nobody... We got Signal chats with the Secretary of Defense... Well, Secretary of War now. That's what they call it.
Oh, God, that...
And Marjorie Taylor Greene's making
She's like... I'm damn near on her side at this point.
I am an MTG stan.
She's like fucking standing up to her party. I mean, I know she still is problematic and has a lot of issues.
Yeah, but at this point,
she's at least the one person that's fucking standing up and being like, my own party fucking sucks.
We gotta take what we can get. We can't be picky.
Yeah, I mean. But yeah, I didn't even know anything about the Hillary Clinton shit except the fucking private emails, but like now there's
don't even get me started
text messages that are being sent to random
hell yeah
about war crimes, like what
sorry you guys box. Okay we gotta stick to the story. So Tasha Marina
Teresita Bossa.
Oh yeah,
close enough.
Sorry.
Another fun fact is I found that some sources said she was pursuing her music degree at IU, Indiana University, but I couldn't actually confirm that. It was just in a couple of sources, but not all of them.
I believe it.
I mean, she was in Chicago. She could totally have done that.
Yeah.
So, friends said that she was gentle and polite, the type of person who would bring snacks to work and remember everyone's birthdays. She loved music, obviously. That's why she was pursuing it as a career. But she also taught piano for free to the neighborhood kids, which was so sweet. I mean, she had to be so busy. She was a respiratory therapist going to school for music and then also just teaching kids piano for free.
I don't know. I don't think that there's actually good people in this world. So I think something sinister was afoot.
Well,
we should ask those kids. I think they were diddled. There's no good. Come on. Teaching neighborhood kids.
She was just a good lady.
I don't believe it. There's no such thing as good people.
I mean, you can think what you want, I guess, but.
No, Taylor, you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
So, but mostly she just kept to herself.
Except when she was teaching little kids things.
That's right. But, so it really shocked everyone when on one freezing February night in 1977, she was brutally murdered in her own apartment at the age of just 48.
Oh, she was just a sweet old lady. Never mind.
Old lady at 48?
That's old. Wait, I take that back.
You're closer to 48 than
I'm
when you were born.
27.
Okay.
Taylor, I can't help it. You're an old woman.
So, it's the night of February 21st, 1977. Teresita has returned home from work. She has spoken on the phone with her friend Ruth Lowe.
Bader.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. RBG.
She just got off the phone with her besties. Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I actually don't know how to say her last name.
I hate us.
It's L-O-E-B.
Loeb.
Loeb?
Loeb.
But she mentioned that she was expecting a male friend over that evening. Okay, Teresita, get it. So after about 20 to 30 minutes of chatting, The phone call with Ruth ended. But soon after, smoke starts pouring out of Teresita's apartment.
What?
Either neighbors or the janitor of the apartment complex call the fire department. Not sure who, there's differing accounts. But regardless of who called, the firefighters arrive quickly and rush in. They knock down the door and they find smoke coming from a mattress fire in the living room. So
what?
Yeah. First of all, a mattress in the living room.
Wait, is this Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe in an apartment.
Yeah, I guess. A studio. But they put the fire out quickly. But what they find underneath the mattress changes everything.
What they find? Tiramisu?
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu. What is it?
It's a woman's body.
Who is it?
She's naked with a knife buried deep in her chest. And it is Teresita Bassa.
Oh my god.
Someone had tried to burn her body and the crime scene, likely to destroy evidence.
That's so smart. Burn, just burning the place down.
I mean, to be quite honest, it is smart. No, because there wasn't really evidence at the scene.
Hell yeah.
So at first, police think it's a robbery or maybe a sexual assault because she's naked. But there's no forced entry. The autopsy reveals no sexual assault, and the apartment isn't, like, trashed like you would think a robber would do. So the only thing that's missing is a few pieces of jewelry. And the only clue is a note that states, "Get theater tickets for AS." But otherwise, there is nothing. No physical evidence, no fingerprints, no witnesses, no suspects.
AS.
So, the case goes cold, but not for long.
Not for long.
Dun dun. Also, I have a random fun fact about the dun dun sound from Law and Order.
What is it?
It's made by like 500 monks jumping on a wooden floor.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
I don't actually know the full fun fact. I just heard it in passing recently.
Watch it not be at all.
No, it's like a combination of a bunch of things, but one of the sounds is like 500 monks jumping on a wooden floor.
That's fucked. Yeah. I don't like that one bit.
I don't like it either. Ugh. So just a few months later in August, Dr. Jose Chua reluctantly contacts detectives with startling news.
Trans. This is big news back then because they haven't heard of this yet.
Well, it's still big news these days, apparently.
Yeah.
No, his wife had been going into trances and Teresita Bassa had been speaking through her.
Am I psychic?
Begging for justice.
I said I'm trans. And then you say they have been
trans. Ah! Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god!
Sorry, guys. I just discovered my abilities.
So Remy Chua, the woman from the beginning of the story, also a respiratory therapist at Edgewater, and like Teresita, originally from the Philippines, had begun going into trances ever since the death of her friend and co-worker. Her husband, Jose, says that sometimes she would just blank out. She would sit, she would stare straight ahead, and her voice would drop into something that wasn't hers. And then she would come to with no memory of what she had spoken.
Are you serious? That bitch would have been out.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'd be like, you're gonna go get a sleep study.
You gotta get out of here. No, like, she would just stare and have this horror.
She would go into a trance.
And then her voice would get deeper and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my god. No.
And that's where we started the story, with Teresita's voice coming through Remy saying her killer was still at large. And as I mentioned earlier, Jose is a doctor. He's a surgeon. He's a scientist. So the fact that he was the one who later told police the story makes it even crazier. Because, no, like, a surgeon isn't just gonna go to the fucking police and be like, my wife is being entranced. Like,
that's true.
You're gonna make yourself look crazy.
It's all about, and yes, it's all an image.
And you know? For a while, he didn't even want to report any of this to the police. But Teresita was very convincing and would not stop her visits.
That's weird.
And also, of course, you can't blame him for not wanting to go at first, because inserting yourself into a crime where there's no physical evidence is a good way to make yourself become a suspect, right?
Because, yeah, but that's actually so scary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of scared.
I have seen so many stories where, like, people who call in and be like, oh, I saw this, this, this. Then they get, like, harassed by the police because the police think they're a suspect when they're just trying to fucking give evidence help them. That's so scary. Scary. I mean, it really is. Oh, my gosh. And I always, even as a kid, well, I guess I've always been into, like, true crime, but even as a kid, I'd be like, oh, my God, what if I have my window down and then a hair falls out and lands in the yard of someone who's murdered, and then they find my hand? I'm like,
you're framed. Taylor's in fourth grade.
As like a 12-year-old, yeah. And I'm like, what if I'm framed for a murder?
That's a different type of anxiety. You know, that is that smart person anxiety. Because that's different than what I feel. I'm sitting here like, what if history's not real? And what if my hand... It's totally realistic.
What if I get framed for a murder?
That could happen.
Or, like, if I, like, accidentally touch a car or something in the parking lot, yes! And then my fingerprint is on there, what am I gonna do?
That's logical thinking. Like, me, I'm sitting here with some hillbilly conspiracy. History ain't real.
History ain't real.
Like, and yours is so logical because it's plausible.
Really, but that's even scarier.
I know.
Because it's plausible. Like, it could happen.
Never drive with your windows down.
Or, like, if you, like, I don't know, like, people who smoke, like...
You go to a restaurant, you sit down, your hair falls on the back of the seat.
And then
sits down, gets up, gets murdered by her husband later.
Fear. I'm never going out to eat ever again.
Oh, my God.
I'm never going to the store. I'm never going anywhere.
We're
gonna
be so thin.
Not eating food anymore. Bye.
We're just gonna survive on chicken broth.
Oh, God. But yeah, he didn't want to go to the police because of many things. Obviously, he didn't want to look crazy. He didn't want to insert himself. But Teresita's voice continued to come through his wife and ask why he hadn't gone to the police as she had ordered him. Okay, Teresita, girl boss.
Yeah, girl boss.
So the Teresita voice told Jose that Alan Showery, A.S.,
stop,
a co-worker at the hospital, had come over to her apartment to fix her TV, but instead he murdered her and stole her jewelry. And after Dr. Chua asked how he could prove that this was true, Teresita's voice says that Alan had given the stolen jewelry to his girlfriend, and if the police went to their apartment, they would find it. Proof of the crime from the murder victim herself from beyond the grave, and also a way for Dr. Chua to go to the police without making himself and his wife look suspicious and or just fucking crazy.
I still think they would be... I would look at them nuts.
This was also in, like, the 70s, so maybe this was more
accepting.
I mean, FBI and shit still use, like, psychics, so... So, at this point, Jose and Remy go to the police, and you can imagine how that went. They're sitting there telling Chicago detectives, "We know who killed Teresita Bassa because her ghost told us." So, of course, most of them write it off as nonsense. But one detective, Lieutenant, Joe Stachula, what are these names? He decides, what the hell, let's at least check the name. And sure enough, Alan Chowery does work at Edgewater Hospital as a respiratory technician. So Detective Joe, I don't know how to say his last name, Detective Joe brings Alan in for questioning, and he admits that he knew Teresita and even says he went to her apartment that night to fix her TV, just like the ghost said, but claims that he left before anything happened because he didn't have the right tools.
If he would have just lied and said he never went there, he would have gotten away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand why.
Because they would have written that person off as crazy.
Yeah. I don't understand why he even said that. Maybe he thought that there were, like, fingerprints or something.
Maybe he thought they were onto him and just freaked out.
But nothing actually ties him directly to the scene. There's no fingerprints. There's no witnesses. But then the detective asks about the jewelry. Alan insists he doesn't know anything about it. So the police go speak with his girlfriend named Yanka Komluk. I really don't know what's going on with these fucking names. So when they visit her, they notice she's wearing a few fancy jewelry pieces.
He gave the dead woman's jewelry to his girlfriend.
When they ask her where she got them, she says, "Alan gave them to me as a gift." Jinx!
Sorry, guys. I've been fighting my cat off this cord.
Jinx wants to be a part of the podcast. Except he can't speak.
He can't hear. He's just chewing on the cord.
He's fine. Oh god, he's really a menace.
He's so bad.
So the detective show photos of the jewelry that Alan's girlfriend has on to Teresita's friends, her family, and her coworkers, and immediately they recognize the pieces.
Damn.
It's definitely hers. And just as Teresita's ghost described, she would have them.
God.
So at that point, police go back to Alan Chowery and say, "Look, we know you were there. We found the jewelry that you didn't even fucking try to hide, you idiot." They also had asked his girlfriend about Alan's supposed alibi. He had gone to fix her TV, wasn't able to fix it, so then he returned home to fix an electrical problem in their apartment, to which his girlfriend said there was no electrical problem in their apartment, and also, even if there was one, he wouldn't even know how to fucking fix it. He didn't know how to fix electrical problems.
And this was before YouTube.
And also, he said he had gone to fix her TV. If he doesn't know how to fix electrical problems, he can't fix her fucking TV anyway.
Right.
So he literally just went there to rob her.
And kill her.
And kill her. And so, just like that, he confessed to killing Teresita. Yep. He tells them he went to her apartment pretending to fix her TV as a ruse to rob her.
That's fucked up.
Apparently she had a lot of money, but when he realized she didn't have cash on her, he attacked her, he stabbed her, he took the jewelry, and he set the fire to hide it, and he also staged the scene to look like a sexual assault, though he didn't actually sexually assault her.
Okay, which is, God.
I guess, a good thing.
You know what? We're gonna adjudicate him of all charges.
We're gonna take it where we can get positive.
Yeah. At least he didn't rape her. That is what we're saying here.
He just...
You know what? And that's still such a good thing to say. You know, at least he didn't rape her, like, because she's dead, you know? At least it wasn't...
Yeah.
At least it wasn't more horrible, you know?
At least it's just murder.
Yeah, at least you're just murdered. Some people go out like trauma then death. Yeah. I'd rather just straight death.
That's true.
Yeah, period.
Not even see it coming, just...
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. A nuclear blast, hell yeah.
Oh my
God. Be right there in the middle where it hits. You're dead in seconds. You're vaporized. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you don't even know what's coming. So he gave the stolen jewelry to his girlfriend as a gift, obviously.
Piece of shit.
Uh-huh. And that's exactly what the ghost said months before anyone could have even known this. So Alan Chowry was charged with the murder for Teresita Bassa. He first pleaded guilty, then changed to a not guilty plea. So, trial time. But the first trial was actually a mistrial. The jury could not agree on a verdict, probably because half of them were still thinking...
The other people were loons.
Yeah, like, how are you going to convict someone because of a ghost?
But then they found all that stuff.
I know.
So...
Yeah.
And he confessed.
Yeah. So, but then before the second trial was scheduled to take place, Alan had a change of heart and decided to go with a guilty plea. And some say that it was because Teresita's ghost herself may have visited him in prison. But also, a guilty plea comes with a sentence reduction, so he could have just done it for that. But he was sentenced to only 14 years in prison on February 23rd, 1979, but only served about 5 years after being let out in 1983 on parole.
What?
Yep, 5 years for stabbing a woman, robbing her, and setting her body on fire.
What state was this in?
Illinois, Chicago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But actually, I will tell you, I was kind of surprised about this because Alan was a black man.
Oh wow.
And yeah. I feel like usually
in the 70s,
black people get like way worse sentences and like they're not as, I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Not weird as in, like...
Yeah, no, I...
It's just not the societal norm, especially at that time.
Yeah, I mean, like, black people these days get, like, fucking life in prison for marijuana. But yeah, this guy got out after 5 years for killing a woman.
Yeah, they were way more racist back then, so mm-hmm. I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a one-off.
Yeah, I know. I was really surprised. Ow, jinx, Jesus Christ.
Sorry, he's trying to chew on your cords. This is what I've been battling.
His nails are so sharp. So even after the case closed, no one could really explain how Remy knew what she knew. Some people think it really was Teresita reaching out from beyond to make sure that justice was done, although 5 years of justice is not much justice.
None at all.
Of course, that also begs the question of why every unsolved case doesn't get solved this way. If Teresita could come through, why can't all of these other unsolved cases come through from beyond?
True. Maybe they just don't want them solved.
Huh?
What if your traumas that come with you in the afterlife, so you're still having like Stockholm Syndrome?
Oh my God. No,
I don't want to turn him in.
I don't want to turn him in.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt his life. What if you're like that even? Not
oh
me.
My God.
I will ruin not everybody's me. Lives.
Literally.
I'm taking a limb from somebody as a ghost.
Somebody's going to pay.
Somebody's going to pay for this.
But others think that Remy might have overheard something at the hospital, maybe gossip, maybe Alan had bragged about the murder. Which, I don't know why you would brag about that at work, but whatever. It's possible. And that her subconscious just kind of pieced all of the details together, but also the jewelry detail. That's yeah. The one thing that people can't really shake, because it was accurate, and...
It was just
why
right.
Would she have known that?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't put out in, you know, like, news articles and stuff. Nobody knew that jewelry was missing until she said, as Teresita's voice that it was missing. But whatever you believe, the outcome is the same. Without this bizarre supernatural tip.
just
the supernatural tip.
Which means uncircumcised.
The police would not have reopened the case. Alan might have gotten away with murder. I mean, aside from him basically getting away with it because he only had to serve 5 years, but whatever. But
5 fucking years.
Yeah, Alan went on to move to New York and died in Brooklyn in 1995,
I think I know what you're going to say, and it's a lie. I was born 3 years later.
You could be Alan Showery reincarnated because he died the same year that you were born.
No, I wasn't born. In 1995, I'm still in my 20s.
Uh-huh. He just mouthed, no, fuck you. No.
Listen, I'm forever young.
I wanna be forever
young. As a gay person, you are kind of just stuck in young people world.
I mean, yeah, you never have to have a family. You never have to do anything.
I'm chronically online. That's why I've been able to keep up with pop culture. Like, yeah. It sucks.
It sucks.
I have this vast internet knowledge of children, and I have nobody to share it with because all my friends are too old.
Oh, right, because you're 20.
Taylor, you can't even hook up your Wi-Fi.
I can't.
Yeah.
Any fucking technical issue, I have to ask Josh for.
Well, not only that, you text me about even pop culture shit.
Oh yeah, I'm like, what's the drama between Hailey Bieber and Selena Gomez? And Josh is like, I fucking got you, bro.
I got you every time. Yes, that's just a gay thing.
Just a gay thing. So, I'm on my last paragraph. Teresita Bassa wasn't someone who lived a loud or flashy life. She was kind, hardworking, and made people's lives better through her job every single day.
She helps them breathe.
She does. She really did. By breathing in their mouths. And her life was stolen much too soon. So, whether it was her spirit speaking through a friend or just an incredible coincidence, what happened after her death is very peculiar and thought-provoking.
Did she disappear? Like, once they caught the killer?
Yeah, there was never any voice after that.
That's so scary.
So, that's the story of Teresita Bassa, the woman who quite literally helped solve her own murder from beyond the grave.
Oh my god, that was actually kind of freaky.
Yeah. Isn't it cool?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good story.
I told you it was going to be a good story, and a good story for Halloween.
It is. If you're going trick-or-treating today, you better be safe.
Yeah, be safe. People are fucking crazy these days.
Bring a gun with you.
Have your children carry a gun.
Make sure your kids know what the Second Amendment is.
I have a gun. Or whatever isn't that like a thing from a movie or something?
I don't know, Mom.
All right, fuck you. Happy Halloween, y'all.
Happy Halloween.
We love you.
Bye. Bye.